sick. I'm here. What else can I say? Here we go. Let's get to some music now. Hello, 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 hello. Ooh. Hey, good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning, everyone. Happy New Year's Day. Happy New Year's to you all. Of course, it wouldn't be good if we didn't start the New Year's without some type of technical difficulty.
It's just got to make sure that we want it's to just, be doing it. It's just confirmation from the universe.
It's just confirmation.
It's just confirmation. Yeah. It's just, you know, do you really want to be on this radio show, Lena? Well, you got to put up with a little bit of this shit. You know, that's what it's saying.
I am so glad that you have this positive outlook on this because I'm about ready to hit something or someone.
Oh, I could be down for that, too.
It's like, I'm ready to hit somebody. Like, someone give me, I need those little toys
that you sit on your desk.
Balls. I need one of them, someone maybe to watch the balls click clack from each side. Maybe if I sit and watch and focus on that, you know, I won't have the stress. I'm supposed to have a stress-free year. I didn't start out stress-free.
But it could be stress-free.
Yes, yes. So I do apologize. LJD and Radio obviously had some technical difficulties since last night, obviously. And the owner was asleep, which was me. I fell asleep on the couch. I went from the couch to the bed.
Before or after midnight?
After midnight.
Okay.
After I said Happy New Year. That was it. That was it. I was gone.
You know, I don't know a lot of people who did, like, big things. You know, I know a lot of people last night stayed inside. Not a lot of people that I know mm-hmm. actually went out and did, like, a lot of big things. Or even if they did, they were home pretty early.
Seems like everybody that I know was at a party.
Really?
Yes.
Not my friends.
I didn't go because I can't afford these New Year's prices.
Right.
People are crazy. You pay all that money. You pay sometimes up to $100 a ticket or more to get into a club. And the only thing you walk away with is the New Year's hat.
Right. Yeah, they're trying to do this hot, famous, like, Columbia, like, thing down there, and, like, it's, they block it off, but it's, like, $150 a person to get in there, and it's supposed to include food, and it's supposed to include drinks, but apparently, like, the lines are always so crazy, and it's just, like, you're on top of everyone, like, and then they're trying to get out of the traffic, everyone's like, it's not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's my thing, it's the leaving. Like, I'm good to, like, go to, like, the parties and stuff, but it's the leaving and knowing, like, maybe I've had a couple drinks, everyone else on the road has had a couple drinks, and you're out on the road with all these dumb idiots. It's kind of my thing about going out for New Year's. Like, I'd rather be, like, back in middle school and, you know, even have adults, just, like, everyone come over, spend the night, you know, sleep wherever, and everyone be safe. That's what I want. Actually, next year, I've decided I'm going to do a destination New Year's.
You're going to do a what?
A destination New Year's.
What does that mean?
I'm going to go someplace. Someplace where I can park my car, and that's all I'm going to do. Or travel, you know. Maybe go to Costa Rica or something. You know, we did just do that big-ass list of, you know, all the best places for New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe do that. Do something fun. I'm going to do something different next year. This year. Yeah, I'm excited about 2024, y'all. So, we all know that Megan, you know, is into spirituality. And so, 2024 is a karma year. And so, it is really about this year, whatever the universe has been trying to get your attention on, it's gonna get your attention. One way, somehow, it's gonna get your attention this year. It's about cycles. It's about self-reflection. It is about changing your ways for the better, for the positive, for your own personal growth. Don't be sitting there thinking, ooh, it's a year for karma. Ooh, I know a lot of people who deserve karma, because guess what? That's wishing that upon yourself. So it's, think about your own karma. Think about what you, your own, of what you've been putting out into the universe. Is it going to be a good year for you? You know, like for me, I know like this is going to be the fabulous year. I think that's my word. Fabulous. 2024 is fabulous. What's your word, Felina, for 2024?
What's my what?
Your word of inspiration.
I just want to get through. My word of inspiration is just to hold on.
No!
I don't know! I don't have a word right now. I'm frustrated because my shit was down.
Yeah, but it's back up now.
I knew you was going to say that.
Right?
I knew that would be your rebuttal.
Yeah, because it is. It's on. Mm-hmm. And we're here, and I hope you all had a safe New Year's. You know, obviously, hopefully, if you're listening to us, you're not listening to us from the hospital or nothing like that. I don't know if they allow us to be listened to in jail or not, but hope that's not where you are either. But we hope that you had a good, safe New Year's and you're joining us. And, you know, I hope that you all set your intentions. You know, I've been dying laughing. You know, the whole cliche of new me. New year, new me.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen, and you know, it went around like a couple years ago where there's that little kid and he does this like meme and he's like, Sarah, you ain't going to be no, you got five baby daddies and stuff. The only thing new you're going to have is a new baby and a new baby daddy.
What?
Oh, I wish I'd had it saved. Someone sent it to me the other day because it's a funny meme, but yeah, I die laughing if, like, everyone jumps on that bandwagon. New year, new me. Why not just love you? Why do we always, like, you know, I always think about it. It's like, why do we always got to have some type of project set up? Why don't we, you know, like, why can't we just, like, be like, I'm good. I'm just going to improve me instead of, you know, new year, new me. Why do we have to make a new you? Why can't we just improve the version of you? Why can't we do that?
I don't know why they say new me instead of improving on themselves. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, well, it's a subconscious thing of not accepting ourselves. Like, we really truly don't realize how much, like, our words and different things like that have so much power over our subconscious mind. But it's basically, it's telling ourselves that we don't love or accept ourselves. Mm-hmm. New year, new me. Mm-hmm. Where, yeah, it should just be improving myself. It's empowering myself. You know, it's bettering myself. It's educating myself. We don't got to start all over, dudes. Like, you're good. You know? Mm-hmm. And I think we have to have that mentality maybe a little bit more. Maybe we need to change that, you know? I have a feeling that's going to be quite a bit of, like, what my posts on my social media accounts and stuff are going to be about this week. Dropping the fad of the new year, new me. Mm-hmm. Let's just improve. You know, and you know, great time to do it, guys. It's the year of karma.
It's the year of karma. Is that what it is? And so,
yeah.
So that means that karma is going to get you.
For whatever, if there's a reason for karma to get you, it's going to get you this year. It is going to get you some way, somehow. Because, yeah, so in numerology, it's an 8. And so the 8 in numerology represents the infinity. Mm-hmm. It's the, you know, it's the infinity loop.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's this year because, you know, 2 + 2 + 4 = 8. So it's mm-hmm. 8. But, yeah, no, it's all about the karma. It's all about the cycles. It's all about the patterns, the behavioral patterns, emotional, your well-being, your financial. It's all about those type of patterns and where we need to recognize and where we need to break from.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't try to do it on your own, mm-hmm. the universe is not going to be very pleasant with you. Not very pleasant. And let me just tell you all from personal experience, when the universe decides not to be pleasant to you, it's a bitch.
Why? Because nothing you do works out?
Nothing you do works out for you. It is just, it's, yeah, I had that kind of happen in like 2017, 2018. And it was just like, yeah, everything that could have fallen apart fell apart. Things like I didn't even, you know, I was very naive about. It was just like, oh, you want to be restored to your glory? Oh, yeah, let's rip this away too. Let's rip that away. Yeah. Like, I literally felt like Cinderella for those, like, couple years. You know, like, when she finally gets dressed and stuff like that, and then she's getting ready to go to the ball, and then the ugly stepsisters come in and are like, oh, that's my necklace. And then, you know, they're ripping everything off of Cinderella.
Yeah.
I literally felt like that. I literally did. I felt like that. I, you know, I tell people that and they always die laughing, but I'm like, no, that's like literally how I felt. And of course, did it suck? Oh my God, guys. Oh my God. It sucked big balls when I was going through it all. But now I look back on it and, you know, and I'm thankful for it because it really did help me to be able to see what was important and what wasn't important. What were maybe things that I had on me that were actually someone else's, you know, someone else's like life drama or different things like that weighing me down. And I needed it. And so the universe will sometimes, yeah, like we want to sit there and we want to blame people. We want to, you know, be mad at someone for some of the stuff, but sometimes this stuff has to happen for us to be able to see the bigger light. And so, you know, when something's happening and, you know, when it seems like, oh my God, you know, it's like, you really just don't want to go on. Just remember, there's something good that's coming from it. You know, you really got to switch that mentality, motivate yourself, Motivation Monday, first Monday of the new year, you know, that everything's always working out for my highest good. And when you start thinking that, and when you start believing that, you're going to start seeing that things are always working out for your highest good. You've just got to choose to see at that level. Mm-hmm. And if you're not, well, what is it that you're focusing on? Because let's not let 2024 get us down. You know, that new you, new me. No, let's just improve you, baby. Let's just improve you. You're already awesome the way you are. You are enough, you know, but maybe you need to be a little bit more kinder. Maybe you need to, you know, not be so abrasive. Maybe you need to slow down a little, not be so fast. You know, it's not about that there needs to be a new you. We just gotta pick and choose kind of like, you know, what it is we want to improve and what we think is awesome about ourselves and bring more of that into light. Mm-hmm. Megan and all her positivity.
Yeah, you saw me. You saw the post that I put.
No, I didn't.
I said Megan is giving her spiritual. Her spiritual.
Heck yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, I think that people saying a new me and a new body and all this sort of stuff, you know, so you just got to say it more improved. I know I plan on trying to whip this body of mine into shape, but I'm not going to do anything crazy because I used to do crazy exercises when I was younger. Oh my gosh. I think I had 0% body fat for a long time. Even up.
Damn, how the hell did you do that?
Even up into my 40s, I was, you know, and then I just decided that one year I wasn't going to do anything, and I did. And I did it the next year, the next year, the next year, the next year. You know, I did it for about 2 years. And then what stopped it was the fact that I went to the store to buy some new clothes after 2 years of deciding that I'm not going to do anything and I'm going to eat whatever I want. And, you know, I wore the sweatpants.
For 2 years.
The no-no. Yeah, for about two years. Yeah, 2 years. I went without cleaning an area of my house. I think that I go through different stages of I don't even know what they call. I would say, I know depression is one of them, but it's not, it's more than depression. It's more of a statement or a thing. I guess, I don't know what I'm trying to say. When I feel like I'm trapped.
Yeah, when you feel like you're stuck, you feel hopeless. When
I have, yeah, so I don't do anything. I mean, that's a good word, hopeless, to use, because I don't do anything. I don't want to do anything, you know. But I don't know that I'm in that state. Did that make sense?
Yeah. And here's the real reality.
Until I look back.
Yeah.
Until I look back a couple of years later, like I'm looking back at it today, and I'm just like, what was wrong with me? Why did I choose to do that for 2 years? For 2 years, it was a room in my house that I didn't clean. And it was a main room. I had so much stuff cluttered in my living room. The only thing I had was a path. That's all you could do was go through a path. And it's never been like that for me. But I did that for 2 years.
Yeah. And, you know, to be truthful, that hopeless and that stuck, that's depression. As much as, you know, we want to say, like, when you think of, okay, so there's an emotional scale. But, like, you know, and it kind of goes from, like, apathy to helpless to death to, like, then it raises up and it's, like, overwhelmed, you're frozen, you know, like, resignation, depressed, hopelessness, depleted. You know, those are all low energy moving. And so you don't have motivation. You weren't motivated to clean that room because it was kind of like, what's the point? Nothing's going to change. And that it becomes the pattern though in our lives that so many people get stuck in. Think though about how happy that you should be that you became unstuck, because so many people don't become unstuck. But then it's, where do we want to go from there? Where it's like, okay, well, what's the opposite of hopelessness?
I seem to be always becoming stuck, though. It seems that...
Look at your environment.
It's, you know, I'm always stuck. I become stuck on something, and I stay that way for years, because I did that as with eating vanilla coconut mini cakes.
Those sound delicious.
They were so good.
They sound delicious. That sounds like something Megan Marie would eat up.
I just did that for like 2 years until I went to try on some pants, some clothing, and I kept getting pants in larger and larger sizes. And then after I exceeded size 18, I was done. And I guess that's what woke me up to realize what I had did to myself. I started changing from there, but since then I've went through several phases of things that I don't understand why I do, you know, and stay stuck in them positions. And I think it's because I am in, you know, situations that are around me that causes me to feel that way. I think that's it. I mean, it, like the time I cut all the hair off my head. You know, it's just like the time I cut all the hair off my head. Cut myself bald.
Yeah.
And it felt
because
so
you needed
good.
Change. You needed to feel something.
So what is that change? I'm just trying to figure out, was it my marriage all this time?
Yeah.
Because I've been going through these changes in certain decades of my life. It's like, I don't know, every 10 years I go through these, at least 2 years of this thing that I go through where I'm not happy. And I guess somewhere along the line, I decide to just, hey, you know, forget it. Just be. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that kind of pushes you further into it. So each time you allow and you accept this to come out of the depression, it's harder. Each time, because it's like you suppress and stuff. But guys, your environment goes into a lot of this, you know. People, you know, I love when people call me like the home wrecker, because I'm always telling people, you know, you got to check your environment, but that's the reality of it, is a lot of the times we get into these stuck in these hopeless feelings. It's because of it's the people we're hanging out with. And it, you know, we are in a society that breeds and breeds and breeds, oh, loyalty, longevity, and stuff like that. And yeah, but loyalty and longevity to respect. Loyalty and longevity to love, not disrespect, you know, not manipulation, not gaslighting. And we need to look at our environments, and are our environments in an area, are we being nurtured? Are we being loving, loved? Are we being supported? Are we being, you know, nourished? And if we aren't, we got to move. We got to make that change, because the pattern and the behaviors are not going to stop. And especially if that person and then ultimately doesn't have respect for you. And that, you know, and we get all butthurt when we say stuff like that of, well, the person doesn't respect you, or the person doesn't love you. Just because someone doesn't respect you or someone doesn't love you doesn't mean that, like, they hate you. That doesn't mean that, you know, it's something a negative. It just means you're on a different page. But we always got to take it always to the negative of, you know, of to, like, hurt someone else. It just means we grow apart. And that's okay in life. But there's not a single person here who can, and I'll argue to your, you know, your black and blue, that love is not supposed to be sacrificing. Love is not supposed to be pain. Love is not supposed to be misery. Someone tell me where it says that in the Bible. And I'm not a Bible thumper and I'm not a religious person, but there are some basic stories that are in the Bible that I do completely agree with and I do think are a wonderful and beautiful foundation for life. And love is not envious. Love is not jealousy. Love is not, you know, people need to go back. I think Ephesians is a very important story that needs to be read and maybe even talked about even more within the Bible. Mm-hmm. But if we aren't in environments that are easy flowing, are nurturing, loving, and kind, how do you expect to be? You know, it's kind of like we have to look at ourselves and, you know, like for me personally, I grew up in an environment where it was just constant yelling and screaming. Mm-hmm. How is that good for my health? How's that good for their health? Mm-hmm. But we have to learn how to walk away from that. And, you know, and the reality of it is I'm not a homewrecker because of the fact that if the home was perfect, we wouldn't even be having the conversation, you know? Like, we wouldn't do, but you got to snap out of it because you've got to learn how to, and I mean, like, you know, people who are listening, you got to snap out of it because you've got to see and start to visualize where it is you want to go in life. Not where you are in life. Where is it that you want to be? And when you are starting to vision those surroundings of where you want to be, eventually it's going to get to the point that you're going to see that the people who you're so stressed out about right now, they're not in those visions. Mm-hmm. But you have to step up. What you're creating in those visions, are they so exciting and so empowering to you that you're willing to let go of the other people? And again, guys, it doesn't mean that, you know, it's like you hate them or, you know, wish them, oh my God, you know, like horrible things to them. They served their purpose. They helped you learn about yourself. They helped you love yourself. They pushed you in the right direction to, you know, onto yourself. Send them love and light and be gone. But we don't always have to become nasty about it because someone didn't work out in our life. You know, there's always got to be someone to blame because that's the society we live in is, you know, blame, 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 blame. Where, why does it always have to be a blame game? Why can't it necessarily just be, you know what, we grew apart? You know, and no one's fault, you know, we could sit here, well, you could have done that. You could have done that. Yeah. We all could have done that. You know, we could have all blown our nose harder, you know, but the fact is we didn't. So why do we have to become nasty about it? We don't. That's a choice that we make. And so, yeah, becoming the stuck, it's, you know, you can't change those patterns until you don't like those demons anymore. You know, when you finally get to a point in a place in life, guys, where it's like, and it kind of goes with what I said the other day, emotional, well, if you guys follow me on social media, I did a reel about retiring emotions. You know, if 2023, you have felt lonely, depressed, heartbroken, guess what? You mentally can choose not to carry those on. Mm-hmm. Our minds are so powerful, people. That's why I love NLP. You know, I love NLP and I love the fact of what we can do and how we can reprogram the brain. Your brain is so powerful, powerful to make the transformations that you need in life. You just got to learn to stick with it. Because that's some of the problems too, is, you know, we, you know, that's the other cliche of the new year, new me. How long does that typically last, people? 2 weeks? Mm-hmm. It's called, do you really want it?
It's like, I'm gonna not gonna cuss anymore for the New Year's, and within that first 30 minutes.
Right? And then how many people, I'm just gonna change. No, you really didn't want it. That's the reality of it. Mm-hmm. The idea was nice. The idea, the thought was good. But when it really came down to it, really getting deep within that thought, you didn't really think about it. You really didn't think about the effort that it was going to put into to make those changes. And it's just too much work for you. Again, nothing wrong with that. But sit your ass down and stop being judgmental on everyone else, because you couldn't even do it for yourself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's kind of going to be like Megan Marie's approach this kind of year. Like, if y'all thought necessarily I was a little blunt a little before, Megan's going to be just probably just a little bit more blunt. And it's not, and I'm not doing it to be ugly to people. I'm not doing it, you know, to make people feel bad, but I think just some people just need that wake-up call. You know, some people just kind of need that little, like, ooh, did I just get into a knife fight? Ooh, did I just get sliced? Ooh. I think people need that. And I'm always doing it out of a place of love. You know, and that's something I think also when we start to heal, like getting back into that hopeless, into that stuck feeling, you don't really trust anyone. You don't really trust yourself, you know, because of, it's like, look where I am in life. And we have to start, you know, in our own mindset building of, I'm here for a reason. What is it that I have to learn about myself? You know, and again, and that blaming game. You know, this weekend has been like crazy, like spiritual, like meditation, you know, different stuff for me. And it's been a fabulous, great weekend. But you know, there was something like, I actually was like thinking about like my father, like the blaming game. Girl, my father, like I can remember, and it comes down to like with a narcissist that they blame everyone else. And it's so the fact that you then have a judgment against that person as well. And that's how things, like, carry on. Like, I just remember, like, so much of different things of, like, you know, my father, it was always, like, blaming everything on, like, my uncle. It was always my uncle's fault that this didn't happen for him when he was a child. It was my uncle's fault that this, da-da-da, my uncle's fault, da-da-da. You know, it was just everything. And I think about it now, like, when we would be around my uncle, where, like, if I had a good time or laugh, my dad would actually get an attitude and get angry with me. Mm-hmm. Think about how much we do that in society to each other. Mm-hmm. We got to learn to let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Because this is the new year to be the improved you. But what are you letting go of? And I think a lot of people, and I'm not lying, people, it's karmic year. Karma, karma, karma. And again, if you're sitting there, ooh, I know a whole bunch of people who just need, no. Do not do that. Stop right there and look at yourself. What karma have you been putting out? What is it that you are going to reap? See, I know for me, I have been reaping some good stuff. I have been planting some freaking amazing seeds. And I'm ready to reap that harvest. Yeah. And here's the thing too, guys. Even if maybe you have been crappy, maybe even you have been a really shitty person to other people, mm-hmm. don't focus on the fact that you've been a shitty person. Focus on how you can improve, and maybe karma, just even in that mental status of thinking that way, karma will reward you for recognizing your own pattern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we got more of that coming up. More of motivational, positive Monday on this 2024. Megan's got more to say, and so do I. I'll get a word in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
You know you got to jump in.
Yes. And we will be right back. Enjoy the music, Diamonds. Thank you for listening. Megan Marie and me. Megan was giving us some insights and, you know, a little bit psychology on New Year's resolutions and some positiveness things. And we're going to let her finish, and then we're going to come in with some positive New Year's motivational quotes.
All right, guys. Well, let's see. I'm leaving it for today. Let's get into that psyche. The question to ask yourself, are you willing to be excited or are you willing to be scared? Because let me give you a little advice on this. What if I told you fear and excitement have the exact same response in your nervous system? Your body doesn't know any different. It's just what do you choose to go when you have that feeling? Do you choose to go to fear or do you choose to go to excitement? Because here's about your goal setting. If your goals and resolutions don't feel like a rocket ship, like it's about to explode or a roller coaster is getting ready to go off, you know, you're feeling that excitement, you know, that just like passion, you know, you're feeling alive. If it doesn't like tickle your soul while your stomach turns and it doesn't give you butterflies in all the good and bad ways, then why the fuck are you bothering? And it's that simple, because, you know, you're not here to be small and you're not here to be playing it safe and you're not here for regular or normal or convenient or freaking common, guys. So what are your goals and what do you feel lucky about? You know, it's time to make them bigger. It's time to stop playing small. It is time to get crazy with your goals and your dreams and get in touch with what the hell you want. No one else can tell you what you want. You've got to step out and you got to be really realizing that sometimes what you want, the crowd that you're around, they don't want it for you. Doesn't mean they're against you. Doesn't mean that, you know, they hate you. Just they're not going to benefit from it. And so they're not going to give you the support. And sometimes you got to step out on your own. Do it. You're never going to regret it. And not to say that it's not going to be tough and it's not going to be hard, but you've got to do it. It's time to step up, big boys. It's time to step up, big boys and big girls. It's time to put on those big kid panties. Let's do it. Let's do it, do it, do it. Put your back into it.
Yeah. That's the only way to get it done. And those are very good words of motivation. So this morning on Motivational Monday.
Now, oh yeah, get you going.
Yeah, it's a new year for the for our businesses. You know, it's kind of exciting actually, because you actually get a Monday, which is the beginning of the week, and a Monday that New Year's has started. This is New Year's Day, and yeah. This is Monday. I mean, for most businesses, they open up Monday through Friday on a regular basis. I can't say for the ones that open Sunday or Saturday, because those was New Year's Eve and stuff like that. But this here is New Year's Day. This is the first day of a new year for you to start. It didn't happen yesterday wasn't New Year's Day and then there's Monday. No, New Year's Day happened on a Monday. And if that doesn't speak volumes to everyone that's in the grind, then I don't know what else is. Because it's not often you get a New Year's Day to start on a Monday. This won't happen for another how many years before it goes around again?
That probably
a New
100.
Year's Day actually falls on a Monday. Now that should say something for your business. This is the day that you could really say, you know what, that's it. There are good things ahead for me. You know, there are good things ahead of me. There are far better things ahead of me than what you left behind. You got so much more ahead of you than what you left behind. It is time for motivation. It's motivation time. It's time to jump off that hill and get yourself into something new or improve where you're at and look forward. 2023 was a learning year for me. I learned a lot. Like, 2022 was a technical learning year for me. I did a lot of things that were not, that were let down, basically. Yeah. 2023 is, it taught me a lot about myself. I learned more about myself in 2023 than I have in decades. It was an awakening for me, decision-making time for me. It was a time where, you know, I got some serious decisions to make in my life here in 2024. And these decisions that I decide to make are going to affect me gravely. It's going to affect me a lot. And it's just a matter of me trying to figure out.
But also, like, it sucks sometimes, like, when it's, like, you get into those situations, and then you come up with decisions, like, you've got to make. It sucks. Let's just be real about it. But we also have to look at the blessing of that we're in a society that we get to make those blessings. Aren't we so happy, like, life is not the way, like, we are not stuck. You know, we have all these changes. We have all these capabilities. I mean, because think about, like, and the reality is that there's always someone who has it worse than you. You know, let's just be truthful and be real. I mean, we don't want to focus on that, but the reality is there's always someone who has it worse than you. But if we sat there and we sat in that energy, imagine how life boring would be. But how many people do it all the time? How many people think, like, okay, well, just because, like, I made this choice, now I have to pay for that for the rest of my life? No, we have the capability to say, you know what? I tried that. But we look at the word failure. You know, failure is such a bad stigma in society of, like, oh my God, you did something so horrible. But guess what, guys? You have to fail to succeed. How do you know something works or doesn't work unless you try it? Like, we should actually start failing on purpose because of the fact that there's so much judgment. And it's like, really, it's like, wow, we're judging people because they took a chance on themselves. Really, we're judging people because we hate that for them that they're trying to better themselves. Like, come on, people. Like, we're better than that. You know, we're better people. We're a better human species. I mean, we're supposed to be considered, like, the smartest species on the world. And look at half the shit that goes on in society. Are we? You know, so it's like, motivate yourself of just, like, be so thankful that life is not stuck the way it is. That life is not black and white. It's not this way or that way. But how many of us, we are so trained to think that. Like, you know, take a simple thing, education. You know, we're so trained in our brains that, you know what, if you didn't get an education, then your life is going to be like this. You know, it's always that this or that. It can never be that there is a variety of color. You know, that it can never be, and we have to change that. And it's our own minds and it's our own capability of being able to do that. But stop thinking that everything, just because you made a choice, that means that it's done. It's over. You know, doors can open anytime. Opportunity, doors can close at any time as well. Change behavior, guys, is what reopens and closes doors. And it works both ways. It works for you being in and being put into where it is you want to be in life. You know, what behaviors are you putting into your life? What are behaviors of different things of, you know, I was thinking about that a lot yesterday, about accepting our character. You know, if you really think about life is a game. You know, it's just one big freaking game, and it's one big group of, like, choices. But the only thing we own in this world is your character. I mean, think about it, guys. You can sit there and be butthurt all you want about your house, your car, all this type of stuff. But guess what? A massive tornado could come through your house right now and rip all that away. Are you going to be thankful you're alive, or are you going to be completely pissed off you're alive and all your stuff's gone?
Yeah. You can always get stuff back.
Right.
We got our stuff all year.
Right, but how many people, and they don't think about it like that? Like, we want to sit there and have the pity of, oh my God, all my stuff is torn away, but you have your life. And we need to focus a little bit more on that and realize that the only thing we own in this world is our character. What character are you wanting to show up and play in this world? Mm-hmm. Only you can determine that. Only you can determine what it is, what character that you want to play. If your character, like, guys, if your character wants to be, like, a home wife and, you know, being great, are you actually making the steps to do that? Are you being little, like, crafty Annie or, you know, like, whatever, you know, different stuff like that? If you want to be a businesswoman, are you putting yourself around business people? It's all those of looking to your environment, but you first have to get clear. What type of character do you want to be playing on this earth? Picture it. How do you want to look? How do you want to dress? How do you want to talk? How do you want to sound? What does your hair look like? What are your clothes? What type of shoes? What is it that embodies you? And then start acting that way. Because, again, it's a character. You're playing a character. If you want to be a victim, then play the damn victim. But realize that there's a lot of people in this world who are going to take your victimhood and tell you to shove it up your ass. Because we've been there and done that. We don't want to hear it, you know? And more people kind of need to do that. You know, I kind of got into a debate over the weekend with a friend. She's kind of very upset with me because she feels that I am not supporting her in her business endeavors, because her business endeavors are very much so the, like, go back and, like, do the inner child, you know, type healing, different things like that. And she says that my content, you know, goes against that. And so it's like, how can I say that I'm her supporter when every piece of my content is in opposition of hers? You know, it's a really good question. You know, it's a really good situation. But as I told her, I was like, I'm not in opposition of you. I'm just saying, and again, though, guys, I personally can speak from my own experience. I'm not coming from you from a book on that situation. I went her route. You know, I did all that healing because that's what I was told. That's what society said, you know, of when I got into the spirituality, you know, arena and really started to own my own gifts. I did all that. I did it all, you know, and guess what? I felt like shit about myself. I felt worse about myself than when I started. And, you know, and it could take you down to, like, another rabbit hole. of like depression and everything on those lines. And then, but as I've expanded and as I've grown, not everyone has to do that. You know, not everyone has to, like, go do, like, the inner child work. Not everyone has to do that to be able to be healed or to be able to move forward. But this is also, again, where it's like, what is it that you want to play? What character is it that you are deliberately setting forth with the intentions of putting out there? Are you that person who does need to go back and needs that loving and the coddling? Well, okay, then good for you and go find those people. Or are you in a sense of where you recognize that you see the faults, you see different things that you did. You also realize, you know what? I can't change a damn thing. I can't change anyone else's actions either. And now I'm going to move forward. There's all different journeys and so many different paths. And that's what's beautiful about our human existence. There are so many different ways. There is no right or wrong way. There is no, okay, you have to be on this path. You have to take these steps. You have to do it this way or stuff like that. Each one of us is so unique in our own that, you know, someone could attempt to follow your footsteps and they're still not going to walk the same damn way as you because we're so unique and we're so different. We have to learn how to honor that and we have to learn how to embrace that. Start loving you. This is seriously, like, when you think about karma, you know, karma happens because of patterns, because of self-doubt. Karma happens because of self-awareness, lack of self-identity, lack of morals and lack of values, not knowing it to who you are. And if you really want to stop these karmic cycles, if you really want to break these cycles, these generational curses, you know, that you hear and, you know, everyone talks about in the spirituality, guys, it's defining your character. You want this stuff to end. If you want these certain things, who are you? Mm-hmm. I am a badass classy lady. That's what I'm putting out there. Who has a foul mouth.
Who has a foul mouth.
Has a foul mouth sometimes, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, but at the same time, as I can be raw and real here, but I can also be raw and real in a high, you know, etiquette class type thing. I know both of lifestyles. I know both themes of life and I can hang and I can be a part of both because I'm a diversatile person. I'm not, it's not black or white. You know, life is a rainbow. You just got to start seeing it. You got to start seeing it. You got to start believing it.
Okay. So let's read off some New Year's quotes here. Let's see if we could finish with the motivation thing that we got going on. Let's see what we got.
Yeah, let's kick it up.
Okay. Let's see what we got. I'm just, they're coming. My thing is just not even answering. Just not even acting right this morning. Okay, so we got some New Year's. Bring it on. Says, I have learned from my mistakes. Oh, that's not a good one. I thought that would be a good site to go to. Okay. The best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt by the heart. Stay motivated. Okay. They have, let's go back up. I ran out. Okay, this morning, with this morning's sunrise comes a day of things that you have never been. You have not been in this place before, so try to make it a new place. The magic of new beginnings is truly the most powerful of them all. Happy New Year's. Okay.
That, you know, and that is so true on that one.
It's time to unfold new pages and start a new chapter of your life because it's New Year's. Happy New Year's.
And understand with turning the page, guys, some characters in our lives die. Some characters can't go on. Some characters have to stay where they are in the last chapter.
Mm-hmm. We will open the book. Its pages are blank. We are going to put words on them ourselves. The book is called Opportunity, and the chapter, its first chapter, is called New Year's Day. That was by Edith Lovejoy. That's a nice
one. I like that one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, then it says, we will open the book and its pages are blank. Oh, I'm sorry, it's the same one. It's all the same about we will open the book. Okay, all things are difficult before it's easy. Happy New Year's.
That's very true. think about that. I mean, the decisions we even have to make, you know? That's the hardest part. It's the decisions. We don't want to make those decisions, but that's the hardest part. And then once it gets going, doesn't it typically always fly?
Yes. If insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, I'll stop cleaning the house. That's what it is. Happy New Year's. When the mind is exhausted of images, it invents its own. Happy New Year. Everything in life has a space of balance. Happy New Year. There are greater things to be achieved in every new year, and each and every one must prepare themselves to be great, not by words of the mouth, but by a lot of sacrifices.
Will I repeat that one?
There are greater things to be achieved in every new year, and each and every one must prepare themselves to be great, not by words of the mouth, but by a lot of sacrifices.
No, I don't like that one because of the word sacrifice.
Yeah. Each year regrets are envelopes in which messages of hope are found for the new year. I like that one.
Yeah, it's not bad.
The only person you should try to be better than is the person that you were yesterday.
Hell yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah. Respect is the most important element of our personality. It is like an investment. Whatever we give to others, it is returned to us with profit. Good morning and happy new year. Wow, those were just some of the quotes. Let's see what it said. People respect us only for two reasons. Either we have power or our behavior is helpful. First one is temporary, but the second one is permanent.
Mm-hmm. Read that one again. I think I really like that one.
People respect us only for two reasons. Either we have power or our behavior is helpful. That's it. I read it wrong.
Okay. I still like that.
I'm trying to figure out what the first one was. People respect us for only two reasons. Either we have power or our behavior is helpful. The first one is temporary, which is either we have power. But the second one is permanent, or our behavior is helpful. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I like that one because it's saying that, you know, they only respect you while their power offers them something. But then when your power doesn't offer them anything, they don't respect you, so it's temporary. Mm-hmm. But when your character is helpful, they respect you all the time and they want you in their presence.
Okay. So we got a good morning. No person in this world has ever been rewarded for what he has received. He is always honored for what he has given to others.
Happy. Yeah, that kind of goes with the whole, like, you reap what you sow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you putting into play? What, you know, you can choose to be anything in this world. You can choose to be kind. Do you choose to be kind?
Yeah.
Or do you choose to be an ass? Choice is yours.
2024 resolution. Instead of trying to change your entire life in January, the simpler strategy is to adopt a 12-month plan where you're making constant improvement.
Well, I really hope to say that you don't need 365 days of change or improvement. So I don't know. I like that one. About that's a lot you got to change about yourself.
I mean,
that person might want the whole the new year, new me, cliche statement. Stop. But you know, some people are there. So I mean,
stop chasing the money and start changing. And start chasing the passion. I like that one.
It, you know, and it's true because it's, it kind of also goes with that whole, you know, we are magnets. Mm-hmm. We are supposed to attract things. So, you know, the money aspect, the money comes with the passion. Money comes when you're enjoying life. But if you're in a desperation, money is not desperation. And we have to remember that money is an energy. Money is a flow of it, so we can have blocks because we are putting dams up basically in our own energy fields that we aren't allowing. You know, when you're in a low negative thing, like think about it like a stream, you know, the stream isn't flowing. So when you're in a low negative energy, that the flow can't come. You've got to raise that energy and get into that passion, because when you get into passion, you're happy, you feel loved, you feel successful, you feel all that. And that's when the abundance of the universe can actually start flowing to you.
Yeah. This one says, do what you love and success will follow. Passion is the fuel behind a successful career.
Yeah.
Are you passionate about what you're doing? I mean, does it not just resonate on the outside or words that you're saying to people? Do you really feel what you're saying inside when you put those words outside?
Yeah. Like, I'm passionate about helping people walk away from unhealthy, toxic relationships. I'm passionate about helping people recognize their own behavioral patterns to make improvements in their life. Mm-hmm. I like to be a part of that. And I hope that that energy comes across to our diamond listeners. And I hope that you're taking some of the stuff that, you know, it's teaching you guys to be better people. Mm-hmm. Of course, why wouldn't I be passionate about it? I can sit here and talk about this stuff for hours, as you all certainly know. And that's when you know you're passionate about something. Can you actually have a conversation for hours on end and feel like there's something constantly? If you cannot do that, people, I think you need to start looking for a passion. You know, something you're passionate about. And again, don't worry about whether or not, ooh, well, you know, Billy Joe's gonna, you know, they're gonna criticize me on it. Who gives a fuck? Mm-hmm. Let Billy Joe criticize you. Mm-hmm. They're just jealous that they don't have a passion, you know? Gotta remember all that.
So I have a short story.
Okay.
It's called The Unexpected Sunflower.
I love sunflowers. Actually, my favorite flower.
Okay, it says, Lucy, I'm getting the stories by RichardRich.com. RichardRich.com. Lucy was inspired to see what an unexpected sunflower had, that an unexpected sunflower had sprouted in the corner of her backyard. Where it came from, she didn't know. Every day, she carefully watered the plant, and it grew. When the bud opened, the bloom was just glorious. Large, yellow, and beautiful, like a cheerful sun in a small green world. Gazing at the sunflower, Lucy felt that life was good indeed. Every person on earth, she thought, deserved the feeling that life is good. Why not? Suddenly, she had an absurd impulse to give that one magical sunflower to the entire world. Every person should see it, smell it, touch it. At last, Lucy settled on her best idea. She'd give the sunflower to a friend who would pass the sunflower to another friend who'd pass it to another friend, and so on. 7 billion people on an impossibly big planet wouldn't see her flower, but a few would. The best, she said, would do. Several days later, she carefully harvested the sunflowers and planted and placed it into a full tall vase. She brought the flower across town and gave it to her Uncle Carl, who was under blankets with a bad case of the flu. A note was tied to the sunflower stem. Once this small bit of sunshine has been enjoyed, please give it to a friend. Thank you, he said sincerely. The next day, Uncle Carl was visited by Alfonso, one of his buddies. Now you have to give this one to your friend, he said, and added a little water. The sunflower descended like a beam of golden sunshine when Alfonso handed it to his daughter Maria. She rose from her dining room chair stunned, said, "That's for me?" she said, with absolute disbelief. "Seriously?" "Yes," he smiled. "You're my friend, right? But read the note. You now have to give it to someone who you think is special." Maria gave the flower to William. William gave the flower to Jerry. Jerry gave the flower to Daniela. Before class, Daniela handed the sunflower to her geometry teacher, Mr. Harrell. "Didn't know how to react. Read the note," she explained. "But the flower is drying out," he said. "It won't last much longer. You're the best math teacher I ever had, so take it." Just seeing how much longer it is. The next morning, the flower had entirely wilted. The crumbled petals had lost their brilliant color, and several had fallen off. Mr. Harrell removed the note from the stem and put it in a drawer. He carried the vase out to the compost pile and quickly tossed the flower into the heap. The vase he carefully cleaned and placed in a corner of his quiet house. The following spring, Mr. Harrell took a slow stroll through the backyard on a gloomy gray day. As he came around the garage, he was taken by a complete surprise. Two sunflowers were rising from the dead compost. The small miracle caused Mr. Harrell to wipe away a few tears. Perhaps he thought being a teacher, a math, wasn't such a useless thing, because he had appreciated the revealed meaning of the sunflowers. And it was simple. Multiplication can quickly encompass the world. If seeds were carefully harvested from dying blooms and just two seeds sprouted, one sunflower might become two. Then repeated, two sunflowers might become four. Four sunflowers might become eight. Eight sunflowers might become 16. And in 33 generations, 33 years, one seed might produce well over 7 billion sunflowers. Enough sunflowers for everybody and everyone in the world. Mr. Harrell found the old note in the back drawer. It still read, "Once this small bit of sunshine has been enjoyed, please give it to a friend." He then added his own writing, "When the bloom finally fades, harvest the seeds and grow more sunflower." He made two photocopies of the note, one for each of his miracle sunflowers. In math, even the smallest fraction contains world-changing power. 1 in 7 billion seems like nothing until it's turned upside down. Lucy lay in a dark hospital. Memory of her miracle garden had long vanished. She had become very old. Judy, her granddaughter, came to visit one late Thursday afternoon. She was holding a surprise behind her back. She presented the sunflower, like sunflower in a new vase. "Can you believe it? Out of the blue, my best friend gave me this. Isn't it amazing?" "And it has a strange note. I'm supposed to give this flower to someone I love. I would like you to have this." Attached to the stem of the sunflower was a small photocopy note. The first half of the handwriting Lucy recognized was her own.
Aww.
Yeah, that was a little long, though.
It's a little long, but it goes to show it's the reaping of what you sow. You know, it's a great example, I think, where it was showing her little one act of kindness to try to make someone else feel better. It spread around all those people. It even died, but it got brought back to life because of planting those seeds, and it made it back to her because kindness is what she decided to sow.
That's what she put out. Okay.
It's what she put out, and it all came back. So I think it's a beautiful message.
Okay, here's one that's shorter. This one's going to make sure it's shorter. Okay. One strange shimmering dream. Jimmy was born on a farm. A young child, he roamed the field collecting shiny pebbles, colored leaves, and other ordinary things. When Jimmy was 8 years old, he had an idea. He carefully wrapped a loose bundle of dandelion fluff with old spider webs. He kept his small creation in a shoebox, which he hid under his bed. Sometimes in the middle of the night, Jimmy would quietly slip out from under the sheets, reach under the bed, and pull out the box. Very slowly, he'd lift the lid and shine a small flashlight inside. The delicate ghostly threads wrapped around fluffy whiteness gently gleamed. It seemed like he had assembled a magic thing, a strange shimmering dream. Over many years working on that farm, his dream grew. One night, at the age of 86, Jimmy suddenly sat up in his bed and whispered to his wife, "I'm going outside to look at the stars." "Okay, dear," she rolled over. Jimmy walked slowly in his pajamas out the back door. He shut the door silently. Barefoot, Jimmy walked out into a dark, newly tilled field. This was no moon. There was no moon. He had reached down and crumbled some earth in his hand. His barn was black under the twinkling stars. He disappeared into the barn. A few minutes later, the large barn door opened, swung open. This one is long, too. And slowly up, up, up rose something weightless and strange, an enormous milky cloud instinct streaked back to a ghostly threads, like a nubula in the dark sky faintly shimmering amid the many bright stars rising up. Let me see what the moral is. I'm tired of reading. Okay. Let's just go on. It's just too long. I don't want to read all that. I would just wanted some short stories. Goodness gracious, that's not short. Those are long.
Well, sometimes the moral of the story has to be long.
Yeah, but not when you're doing a show, and you don't
that
like
is true.
Reading like that. I don't know. It's making my jaw swell up.
That's funny, Lena. It is saying we are not going to talk about gratitude. And
I just wanted something simple. I just really wanted something simple. That was not
Well, we got probably a lot of people who are hungover who are probably listening, and they're probably like, I cannot follow that.
No.
Let's be real. Like, everyone, like, I mean, I didn't get drunk or anything last night. I mean, I did have a little bit of, like, party favors, but there's a lot of people who are literally shit over, hungover. It's only 10:36. There are a lot of people still in bed, like, wait, what? The sun is up. Oh, my God. I do not miss those days. You ever have big old party days like that, Lena?
I told you I used to have this little get-togethers, but I could never drink. You know, when you're hosting a party, you can't really get drunk.
Oh, yes, you can. I used to. I think there's a certain time limit, you know, for, like, hosts, but especially, like, long, like, so maybe, like, say, like, a party, because, you know, typically on those, you know, they're about 3 to 4 hours, you know, a little bit. When you get to the three-hour mark, I think the host is off, like, the host is no longer responsible. Mm-hmm. Like, the party, the majority of it, like, everything, the fundamentals of whatever it was that you had to do should have been done by then, kind of, and it's kind of now free-for-all for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Sunny Skies have some really short inspirational stories, but I don't really know what they're about. Like, this one says, TSA isn't all shouting about laptops and taking shoes off. It says, a few years ago, I was flying out of my local pretty small airport when I got in line behind a woman who didn't speak English, and by the looks of it, didn't travel by plane often. No one in the airport spoke her language, so she was becoming increasingly anxious and frantic with everyone interaction. As she was loading her stuff on the TSA X-ray, on the TSA X-ray belt, the agent started giving. It leads to a longer story. As she started giving her spill. Laptop, liquids, and shoes, it was clear that the woman didn't understand. She started to panic and looked like she was going to have an anxiety attack when the TSA agent stopped what she was doing and started gesturing to the woman to take deep breaths. They took deep breaths together, and afterwards the woman was able to make it through the scanner just fine. This happened almost a month ago, and I still look back and smile. I love knowing that TSA agent saw a fellow human struggling and offered kindness rather than piling on to her anxiety. I thought that was very pure.
So, yeah, and we have to do that, you know, and, you know, just, I don't personally comprehend. I don't understand how, like, other people cannot, like, look at another human being and not have some type of sympathy, empathy, or compassion for a situation that they have going on. You know, I think a lot of people maybe, you know, and this is a thing for this year, you know, 2024, but with the karmic, some people are going to be humbled. You know, and I think being humbled is good for majority of people. Like, kind of like a bad situation, you know, many, many years ago, I was kind of judgmental to a person. Really didn't like the person, so, it was easy to kind of be judgmental against this person related to around kind of the holiday times. It was easy for me to kind of get onto that bandwagon of that negativity. But you know what? This year, I happened to find myself in a similar situation to that person that I was judgmental towards years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And, you know, and that's kind of like that karma type aspect of you just never know what a person has going on, or what their decisions or what their choices are. But, you know, I was very judgmental to that person, you know, and I'm not going to go seek out. I mean, that person didn't even know I was judgmental, you know, to them. They may not even know I know the situation or the scenario that they were in that year. But you know what? I thought I was a bigger, badder person. You know, I casted my judgment. I put that out. And guess what? It kind of got turned back around on me. And it's humbling when things, you know, we can sit there all day long and be like, oh, why poor me. But did you wish that upon someone else one time? Did you not have compassion or empathy towards another person in a same situation? And now look at, maybe you're in that same situation. Maybe you need to be a little humbled. Maybe you need to be knocked down to your knees a little bit. You know? You know, it's not necessarily sometimes a bad thing. Sometimes
if you spend 2023 being a real bitch to people, maybe you should try the reverse in 2024.
Right. You know, where did it get you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, but so many people want to live in that victim mindset. Oh, we're going to blame. Oh, it was Sarah's fault that I acted like a bitch. Blah, blah, blah. No, bitch, it was your fault that you acted like a bitch because you allowed Sarah to get under your skin. Blah. There you go. You know? But we want to blame everyone for those. And yeah, this is what 2024 is about. And that's why it's like, it is so exciting of, you know, it's a Monday. It's the start. It's, you know, it's getting everything going. Guys, set that tone, set those, you know, intentions, set those goals, you know. Remember that goals and intentions are basically the same thing. It's just the energy that you put behind them. But yeah, what are you setting? What do you need to be humble for? What do you need to be giving more gratitude for? What do you need to be giving more thanks to? To it. Do it. Because if not, this year, guys, I'm telling y'all, mark words. Next year, on January 1st, 2025, we're going to be sitting here. Megan's going to be like, how many of y'all had a bad year? Told you, God was going to humble you.
And you know, it's... The thing about it is that I've heard so many people is just thinking or feeling like bad things are going to happen this year. Like my one attorney associate of mine, she's like, oh, people are going to be filing for bankruptcy. There's going to be a lot of bankruptcies this year. Another person yesterday would say it's not going to be a good year. I heard another person say that it's going to be a year that real estate, a lot of people are going to lose their homes and the rich is getting ready to get richer. You know, I'm not hearing
see, I hear
good
the
things about 2024.
I would agree with you on a lot of what you just said is going to happen. Okay. I do agree that we are going to be going through a very big transition. And some people, and this is where it's like, okay, guys, it's karma. It's the 2024. It's that cycle of that judgment type aspect. Because there's some, in astrology also, there's some stuff, it's the 15-year cycles of different things. There's a lot of stuff, guys, that have been going on. And then if you haven't been paying attention to, of, you know, the amount of eclipses that we had, the full moons, like the whole energy of the world is changing right now. And there's going to be a lot of people who are humbled. But, like, you know, I was talking to a financial person, actually, from Lena's pop-up New Year's Eve party. Him and I were talking about it, you know, and he's not the only person who I know who is, like, starting, like, their own financial companies right now. Mm-hmm. And they're going out on their own. And I brought that up to him. I was like, well, you know, I don't watch a lot of the news and stuff like that, but people always are, like, sitting here, you know, talking about how it's going to be the worst financial, blah, 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 blah. You know what his comment and response to that was, Lena?
What's that?
It was so empowering. He said, how many people got rich off the Depression? How many people made money off of 2008, the housing market crash and stuff like that? Mm-hmm. He was like, is there ever a really a good time? He said, but it's all the way that you look at things. And when there's money to be made, it's those people who take that chance. So yeah, things are necessarily going to, but if you're in so much of control, it's going to be a shitty ass year for you. But for people who are, you know, ready for the experiences, ready to grow and ready to have some of those, it's not going to necessarily not be a bad year. But I know a lot of people who are in the financial markets right now who they are stepping out and they're creating their own businesses. And that should give a lot of people a lot of hope when it comes into finances, that if people in the own banking industries are taking leaps of faith on themselves, we need to be taking that leap of faith too. You know, don't be going and hoarding this stuff, because when we get, and you guys can understand too, is the government and the media is not out to help you. They're not out to better your life. You know, we live in a fear-mongering society. Think about the news. The news is always war, devastation. That puts that into your subconscious mind. That's putting that lacking, that fear of all this. And when, again, like I've talked all the time, it's that boomerang. When we're constantly consumed by that's what's going to happen, guess what's going to come back? That's what you're reaping. That's what you're sowing. When you're living in that constant fear, which, you know, I talk a lot about the law of polarities. If you're in fear, what would be the opposite of fear? Joy, freedom, happiness. You got to learn how to flip that. You've got to learn how to get to the other side of the stick, because fear and freedom are on the same side of the stick. It's just, which one are you going towards? I used to, for many years, I lived in the fear and I didn't get anywhere in life. I got everything I didn't really want in freaking life and was sitting there. And you know, the beautiful thing is, guess what? I get to start over. The beautiful thing is that it's not just because, you know, I made that choice or at the decision, oh, my life is now over and it's now done. No, at any time we can change. At any time we can choose direction. It's just, what are you feeding your brain? Are you feeding that, yeah, oh my God, it's going to be a negative year? Or are you feeding your brain, oh my God, this is going to be the best year yet?
That's
Right. You know, what are we choosing to feed ourselves? Because you guys, your words have so much power. Your words have, and it's not that your words have so much power over other people. Your words have power over your own subconscious beliefs. You're the person who puts your subconscious beliefs into motion. What are you telling yourself? Are you telling yourself that this year is going to be the worst year financially? Are you telling this yourself that this is going to be the year of, like, struggle? Is this the year that you have to sit at home all the time? You're putting that on yourself. Mm-hmm. Go do you. Go buy yourself some flowers. Go take yourself out on that day. Go do all of that. And then, yeah, again, look at some of the environment aspect. Because, you know what, if you have all these people who are in financial industries and they're all taking a leap of faith, should we really be listening to the media? Mm. Yeah, again, though, yeah, I do think that there's going to be some big crashes, you know, but they've also been predicting that for, like, the last 2 years that the housing market's going to collapse again. They've been predicting that it's going to be the exact same thing of 2008, which I got hit hard as hell in 2008. With that housing whole situation. But, and, you know, it was never prepared and I never paid attention to it. But if you're just constantly putting that out there for yourself to receive, well, when the lightning strikes, please do not be by me. You put it out there. You know, so it's what are you putting out to the universe? You know, like, you know, I do tarot cards, and, like, I even have, like, these little, like, the Mindful Collective, like, daily affirmation, like, cards. And, you know, it's just something. And, like, today my card that I pulled for myself is, I align everything I need in life simply by being me. Mm-hmm. That's my reminder, mm-hmm. you know, that I am awesome, that I am amazing. But what are you putting out into the universe? Mm-hmm. What thoughts? What beliefs? Because that is going to determine your surroundings. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to be around smart, educated, business-type, successful people. When I finally changed my mind and, like, was like, that's the type of people I want to be around, what type of people do you think started coming into my life? Mm-hmm. I just had to make room. So what are you gotta let go of? And maybe it's just your negative thinking. Maybe it's just, you know, your negative thinking that you got to let go of and reprogram. Maybe it's a whole group of friends that you got to let go. Maybe it's that job. Maybe it's that job every single day that you hate going to. But again, guys, you're comfortable with your demons. There's something good about that. Because, like, honestly, if you hate your job every single day, how dumb and stupid are you that you get up every day to go to that job?
But some people just isn't doing it for the paycheck. Some people, they not. The only reason they're doing it. They don't like it. They hate it.
You
they don't
can't have another job.
Anything about it, they just
like wanna, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. They just want to bitch. Mm-hmm. They just want to moan and they just want to bitch. And you know what? Go do that in your own little corner, people. But let's, you know, the reality of it. You're exactly right. So many people just do it for that paycheck. You can't get a paycheck from another company. You can't find a job, you know, that's more aligned with who your morals and your values. I mean, why do you want to get up every single day and go to a job that you freaking hate just for a paycheck? You're like literally living to die, people, where you could be putting out into the universe, well, I want a job that I enjoy going to every day and I make more money than I am now. Wow. Imagine going to a job every day. You spend 40 hours a week typically at most jobs. Oh my God, you actually like it? You actually enjoy it? You like the people you work with? Oh my God, you make more money? We got to change that victim mindset. That this is just how it has to be. No, it doesn't. You're choosing that for yourself. And I wish you would choose better, and I wish you would choose more for yourself.
You have to. One thing about when I did work in corporate America, I didn't work a job that I didn't like. If it was something that I didn't like to do, I didn't apply for it. I can truly say that just about every job that I had in corporate America was by choice, was something that I wanted to do. And I was always blessed to be able to get the job. Now, it was one point that, because with, you know, not tooting my own horn, but I've always been good with technical stuff. I've been good with, wherein most people find it difficult and they can't understand, I can actually understand it. I can comprehend it. You know, people, lots of people have came to me in my life because they don't understand this or understand a lesson or something like that. With me, it just kind of takes me a minute. It'll take me a minute, but if I focus, I could do it. So I've always been working in jobs that I've always been happy at. And even when I worked, at one point I was working with a temporary agent. I worked for a temporary agent for like a couple of years. And every job that I went to was things that they had either not in order, not in place, or they didn't understand their system or something, how something worked or something like that. And I've been able to go in there, and I may not be able to decode it in that hour or so, but I was always able to decode it. And people were always like, how did you do that? And this and that. Some things that I think everybody was born with certain gifts. And sometimes those gifts don't manifest themselves until later on in life. Some of us see those gifts early. Some of us see those gifts late. With me, I was blessed to see those gifts early. I mean, computers and stuff came as second nature to me. I mean, I could be the biggest programmer or the biggest hacker because I understood all that stuff. And I always had jobs where people wanted to keep me in a temporary job. They always wanted me to stay. Could you stay? I never wanted to stay, mainly because I got this thing called the free spirit that stopped me from obligating myself to any particular job. I've always wanted to do my own thing. And, you know, which I now decided to do. But my purpose is, what my point is that we all are gifted in some way that we don't know until we try it. And the only time we can try it is to step out there and be passionate. Don't take a job that you don't like. Don't take a job that you don't like. Sometimes I would do things as just a challenge to myself because I couldn't believe that I was blessed with this gift. It took me some time to be in acceptance of it. So I would challenge myself and take something or do something that I felt was complicated. And depending on how I felt inside, I either conquered it or I let it go. I can't say anything ever really defeated me because I think defeat is a state of mind. I think that if it's something that you started and you decided that you didn't want to do, I don't think that's defeat. I think that's realizing that you made the wrong decision. Because when there's something that you want to do, you accomplish it. Like some people are gifted, let's just say in culinary, where they can go and cook the most complicated things and make it excellent and beautiful and taste just melt in your mouth. I can't do that. I've tried, but my thing is patience. I don't think I have the patience. Like, I would love to make my own rolls, homemade rolls, but I don't think I have the patience to do it. But if I focused, if I decide that this is the one thing I'm going to do, I'm going to make these rolls. If I focused and truly focused, not just on part of the step, but on every single step of the way, on every little detail, every little thing that has to do with that project or those roles or whatever it is I set my mind to, they can come out perfect. They can come out perfect, and I won't believe myself. Now, will I be able to do it again? Probably not, but I only say probably not because it's not something that I want to do. It's something that I tried just to see how well I could do it or if I could do it. But it's not something, it's not my forte. I don't have the patience to be in the kitchen. Like, I'm a very good cook, you know, and I do, you know, my catering stuff on the side. But when I cater, it's because I'm focused and the food always come out perfect. But I don't cater all the time because I don't like cooking all the time. Now, will I sit back and decode something on a computer, on a language? I'll do that. I don't mind doing that, especially if my mind is clear and I'm able to do it. And then 9 times out of 10, I could cover the obstacles. I could have conquered Java. I could conquer PHP. I could conquer Perl and all those other complicated things. I've never found those things difficult. Maybe it's because my mind is too complicated. I don't know. But we all have our own gifts. Like Megan, she had to break loose from her marriage and the things that around her for her full potential to come through. All that knowledge that she's gathered over the years, you know, all that knowledge, all that education, everything has come together and come into fruition. Now you can talk to Megan about any situation that's going on in your life, and she comes at you not just from a personal view, but from an educational view, from a psychologist view, and can make you be very insightful. She can say things that you never thought about, but see, you're not the expert. You're not going to think about them. You need an expert to bring those things into fruition. So what I'm saying is, we all have a special talent. Now, there may be some things that someone talked to me about, and I may be able to answer them and guide them and advise them, but then there's a part that I can't. That's because I've never studied psychology. I can only go but so much. And then the rest, you need an expert. Just like Megan, she could probably edit an image or do something simple. But if you ask her to do something complicated, she's going to say, well, no, that's, I don't really know that. And going to advise you to go to someone who does know more about that than she do. We don't know everything about everything, but there's hidden talents that you have within yourself that you did not know you had until it comes into fruition. And this just might be the year. So explore. If your mind tells you to decorate this room or paint this room or do something with this room that you've never done, do it, because that might be your talent speaking to you and coming into fruition.
And you're ignoring that.
Yeah, and you do this room, and this room is just like awesome. Everybody's coming over saying, how did you do that? What would you do? Next thing you know, people are asking you to do it for them. Not only do you do it for them, you go in and you do it the best. Next thing you know, it is such a rewarding feeling inside. And not only is it rewarding, but that's where your passion is coming through, because you're doing something that you enjoy doing.
Yep.
Don't take a job if you don't like it. Don't waste the manager's time, the customer's time, your co-worker's time. Don't take a job. I know some people say, well, I just need to work. But what good is it if you just need to work and you get on that job and you quit in 3 months because you're like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
Know that you can't do it. Know your limitations before taking a job. Look at the responsibilities. Read the details of the responsibility of the job, because most of the time they're posting exactly what that job entails. So you have the opportunity to read about that job. And even if they don't have a description, go to Google, ask chat, you know, what does this and that do? You know, so you'll have an idea before you step into that interview. Make this a year of determination. Make this a year of doing what you're passionate about. Make this a year of doing what it is that you like to do. If you like to cook burgers in McDonald's, be the best damn burger cooker in McDonald's. Right. Be so good that people actually come in on your shift because they know that because you're in that kitchen, they're going to get the best burger that they ever had. Now, they may come in after your shift and the next person that come in don't care about, you know, I'm just here to get a paycheck. They don't care how they slop your burger together and give it to you. And the taste is not the same. You get disappointed. It's like, I said I'm going to stop going to this place because every time I come here, I get a bad burger. Maybe try going on a different shift. Go on the shift that that person who loves their job and cares about their job is working. And I guarantee you're going to get the best burger that you ever had. And you come there every day at that shift, you'll still get the best burger. Because who's behind the who's in the kitchen cares about the work that they do. So don't go and get yourself hooked up in a job that you're not passionate about. Because see, as long as you care about it and you love it, you're going to grow. So that cook becomes top cook because they have been noticed for their passion about what they do. They become top cook. Next thing you know, that cook is over all the hamburger makers. And the next thing you know, not only are they over all the hamburger makers, they're making sure that the hamburger makers that's up under them are making the burgers with the same type of passion. That's what you call growth in your business. You have to have people that's passionate about what it is you're doing, because if they're not passionate, they ain't no help. They're not going to help you in your business. If you're not passionate, you're not going to go nowhere in that job. If you're not passionate, you're just going to quit. Do something that you're passionate. Don't waste people's time. Don't waste your time.
Yeah.
So that's my little spiel
today. You know, but you just hit so many amazing points though there, Lena. And, you know, even going in further of, you know, of wasting people's times, you know, like I can say this into my own corporate, you know, I worked insurance, you know, I have a 20-year experience with insurance. I hate fucking insurance, you know, but here's the thing. I was good at it. I was good at it. I made a career in it, you know, but I hated every day, but I needed that paycheck. You know, I needed that, those benefits. I needed, you know, this of what it would offer me. And I was good at it. But yeah, it didn't light me up. You know, it didn't make me feel good about myself. I mean, it did to some because of the fact that I understand the jargon behind insurance. You know, I understand the whole legal aspects about it. And I liked it because, but again, like, here's an example of it. What I enjoyed about my career in insurance is I enjoyed educating other people to be able to understand the jargon and the language in insurance policies so that you could better yourself too, so that you could educate yourself and not need someone else to explain. Because the reality is that, you know, how many human resources people don't even understand necessarily the whole jargon of, so they get employees to sign up like on insurance policies thinking that it's the best when it's actually the worst situation for them, but they didn't understand the jargon. They didn't understand the language as to what the policy actually stated. And I enjoyed that. I walked away from my insurance career. I walked away from doing that. It wasn't, you know, even though I'm good at it, you know, I have a great name. I have a great reputation. And when it comes to insurance, like people know, like Megan knows her shit when it comes to insurance. But what I just said of the passion of what I enjoyed about that job, am I now not doing that? And I'm more passionate. I'm helping people now with medical and mental and emotional jargon that, you know, a lot of psychologists and therapists, they use these big old words that, you know, people don't understand. And it's, you know, and it's to get to understand too of the power of the words and different things like that. A lot of people use those type of things to have power and control and superior over you. I don't want to feel superior over anyone. You know, I look at it, we all shit and bleed the same damn way. You know, there's no different. We all come in the world the same way. We all come through a vagina, and we all die the same way. Mm-hmm. There's no difference among us. So I now have taken my passion of learning and helping to educate people. I went and I got these skills. What did I get a skills in, guys? I got skills in everything you don't want in life. I got skills in. But I had to own that expertness of it, of that, you know what, I went through this journey, I went through this path, I went through this, and I learned this, and I have my personal experience, and I have my education, and now how do I combine it because I'm passionate, and because I love it, and because I want other people to see how freaking amazing they are, too. Mm-hmm. And so of what Lena just said of, like, just stepping up, oh my God, yeah. Like, I felt, like, just so empowered listening to Lena go off on that little rant. Because I feel like Megan's rubbing off. Megan's rubbing off.
So, yeah, you have to. I just thought about that. I never, when I look back over my life, I never took a job that I did not want to take. Every job that I went after or was offered to me was by choice. And even if it sounded like an opportunity that was too good to be true, after I wanted to know the details. After I find out the details, then it's my decision to decide whether or not I want to take it. Have I had some regrets? I can't say that I have regrets. I would say more so that when I heard about someone else in the opportunity, I thought, well, that could have been me if I'd have decided to do it. But then I know me, know yourself, know self. I know me, and I still knew I wouldn't have stayed. That would have been a very small accomplishment. Like when I decided to leave corporate America, doing technical stuff, I decided to go into more a customer relations based careers. Now that was a self choice. It was a self choice that I wanted to learn. I wanted to see what it was like to work with people. I wanted to talk with people. I wanted to see what people thought. I wanted to see what their minds was, because I wanted to go ahead and branch a whole new section of my business that would involve me dealing with people. Okay, and I have been somewhat of an introvert or sheltered majority of my life. So I wanted to be out there and know what people's opinions were, know how people thought. So I decided to go ahead into the retail. I think one of the jobs that I worked was the dump. And I chose the dump because I loved their furniture. I'm like, okay, you love furniture. I do. I love furniture. And so I wanted to get a job in furniture. So I'm like, well, let me go ahead into the dump. And, you know, I got the job. I got the job as soon as I applied for the job. And I liked the idea that it was only open at that time 3 days a week. You know, I said, you know, so I had the other days to myself to work on my computer and stuff like that. And I tell you, those little 4 days off came around so fast. Before I know it was 3 days again. And not only did you work for just, you didn't work for your regular 2, 3, 4 hours. You worked like 10 hours. You know, as long as the store opened, you were there working. And I found that I didn't like selling furniture. And it wasn't so much the selling of the furniture. It was the standing and walking all day. Like, right. The people were great. I would have people to come in there and say, you know, I just bought a new house and I need all new stuff. That was the ultimate customer, because you got a chance to talk with the customer, find out what they like and what they did not like, and just walk around all day. And you didn't think about that you were on your feet. But soon as the sales were slow, it was like, I hate this. I can't do this. I'm tired. You know, I'm looking for a chair to sit down on and stuff like that. I did not like the idea that I had to stand on my feet all day. So I left. I didn't leave because of the job. I left because I chose a job where I didn't think about that I would be standing for those 10 hours. that I was there for 3 days straight. So if I'm tired from standing on that first day, I had two more days of this. So, and I decided within myself, I didn't want to do it. I think out of the job that I chose to do, the ones I like was Macy's. I loved working at Macy's.
And isn't that funny because of the fact it's walking around on your feet?
I know.
But you're pointing so many points right now of how many people settle for these jobs because that paycheck pays, but yet you're so miserable and you're so unhappy.
You're so miserable.
But you standing up for what it is that you like. You obviously like to be around the clothes because the clothes though have more purpose to you than a furniture.
well, and not only that, there were so many different departments. That, you know, that I worked in jewelry. I loved working in jewelry. I worked in clothes. There was so many different, there was a variety of different departments that you could work in. And not only did you get to work in it, you got to study what was in that department if you took the time. You know, when I worked in clothes, I walked around to see what the clothing was like, see what was on clearance, put some stuff aside for myself. And stuff like that. In jewelry, I got to see the different types of jewelry, the different types of jewelry design, the different types of designers that make different jewelry. I decided that I like Guess. I liked Guess in Betsy Ross or something like that. Anne Klein 2 wasn't bad too. Anne Klein 2 was pretty good. I liked their watches. The different type of watches. It just doesn't matter. You know, only department I didn't want to work in was shoes. Not because I didn't love shoes, but because I saw the craziness that was going on in shoes. I ain't want to do that. So I did not.
Yeah, we can be crazy about your shoes.
I never, because it was always a mess. So I always opted out of, no, I don't want to go help in that department. You know, we need some help in shoes. And I was standing and looking. I said, no, I don't want to do that. And I would pick and choose my battles. Learn how to pick and choose your battles. There are options out there. Just because you feel like that you really, really need a job don't mean take a job that you don't like and that you're not passionate about. You know, find something about that job. And if you feel that you have to, find something about that job that's going to keep you going, that's going to keep you motivated outside of the money. Because if you're just doing it for money, you're never going to like it.
You're never going to be happy. Money cannot make you happy unless you're already happy.
Yeah.
You know, people are like, oh, well, that's just because you don't have money. No, that is the real reality, guys. Money is a tool. That's what we have to understand, is that money can be good or bad. But the reality is that, and this goes for people, this goes for money, this goes for jobs, you're never going to be happy unless you're happy on your own. You know, another person cannot make you happy. A job cannot make you happy. And money cannot make you happy. They can add to your happiness. But you have to have a fundamental foundation of your own happiness and joy for it to be able to be built off of. Like, you can't just, like, one day, like, there is not, the magic wand is, you know, it's your spine and it's your brain. You can make that connection. But yeah, if you're not happy, nothing can come into your life to make you happy. That's a choice that you have to make. You have to choose whether or not you want to be happy, and you can sit there and, you know, be in victim mindset and be unhappy or not, or you can choose to be happy. The choice is always yours. You have that choice, and it doesn't matter. You could be 79 years old right now, people, and been a miserable prick for your whole entire life, and today you decided to be a happy motherfucker. Mm-hmm. You can do that. That's the beautiful part of the game called life. You can change it at any time. So why are you suffering for misery? See, I worked on retail one time, and I did not like folding up clothes after people.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine. I can just imagine the look on your face when someone messed up a section that you folded.
Oh my God, it used to piss me the hell off. And that I am like so bad. Like, I still like go through, like, I'll be in stores and that still sticks with me. And like, I can't even like go look at a rack of stuff or like, you know, especially like if like t-shirts or something are like folded. and it's a complete disarray, oh, I can't even, like, I just want to go over there and quickly, like, fold. Because people do not, like, you gotta understand, like, the way that, like, shirts are folded in, like, most of your stores, it's so simple and easy. It's like, why can't you just do that again? It's not complicated, but people are just so lazy, and they pick up the shirt, and then they just throw it back on the rack. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
I'd cuss you out.
Yeah. I mean, I feel for people that's like that. You know, when I go past a clothing aisle, and I see all of these shirts that people just picked up and just put back, I feel sorry for those people that have to come in and fold that stuff.
I know. I have sympathy and empathy, because I was one of those people one time. I know exactly what it's like. So I will sometimes, like, straighten them up. My son yells at me all the time, stop doing that. And I'm like, well, you know, someone's going to appreciate that I did that. Mm-hmm. But that goes into the simple aspect of, and you guys can laugh, but that is simple things of having compassion and empathy for other people. And the more that you have sympathy and empathy and compassion for other people, the more it's going to show up for you in your own life. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to give to receive people. Mm-hmm. And so are you one of those jackasses who just go into stores and, like, pick up everything and just throw it everywhere? Do you find it funny knowing that, you know, someone else has to come, or it's their job? You're just giving them something to do. Because I've heard those arrogant comments too. You know, I'm giving them something to do. Nah, guess what? They got enough shit to do. Mm-hmm. They don't need, because you're just a little prick, you know, and you're giving them something. You're so high and mighty on yourself, you know. But look at that. And again, guys, this is a year of karma. What are you, what have you been reaping? Are you one of those jackasses? Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to show up. It's going to show up this year for you. Mm-hmm. It's going to come. So, like, I know, I personally, like, I am so excited for 2024. This is going to be a fabulous, phenomenal year. Last year was extraordinary. Last year, my word for the year was extraordinary. And I think everyone needs to have a theme, or, you know, the energy of what you're setting forth for this year. Mine's fabulous. I don't know, just fabulous just seems to, like, stick with me. And I don't know, do you ever watch, like, old British, like, TV shows?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you ever watch that TV show called Fabulous?
No.
Oh. I don't know why. I loved that as a little kid. It's two white drunk girls, British girls, who just sat around judging and criticizing people and smoking and drinking. It was so inappropriate for me to be watching, especially when I did, but I loved that show. But I guess it was also some of, like, their arrogance in that show of just, like, they're fabulous. And they just owned their shit. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I really loved about it. And so it's, like, that's what I'm taking into this year of 2024, the energy of just, I am fabulous. I am owning my shits. I'm owning that sometimes it stinks and sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes it just feels good. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. So what is, you know, diamonds? Leave it out on our Facebook page. What is your word of the year? What is that energy that you're going to take forward? That's what right. is it that you're going to create for yourself?
That's right. And give that some...
It's hard to give what, a damn what about. What is going on, Diamonds? Thank you for listening to Live with Lena and Megan on your January 1st, where, you know, you could be at work, you could be recovering from your hangover, you could just be laying around, you could just be like, screw this new year already. Maybe you had a whole bunch of drama happen. But you know what? There is that saying, new year, new you. Kind of on that, but no, guys, seriously, you know, we hope we're motivating you, but, you know, this is the year, this is the year that people can make the changes and, you know, motivate you to step in, find out what you're passionate about, find out what inspires you, what makes you feel alive, and we got to learn how to kind of find more of that in our lives, you know, and be okay with it, and be good that, you know, it might not fit the norm. You know, like, what you want to do, you know, it could be so off the wall, but if it's good for you, does it really freaking matter to anyone else? You know, we put way too much emphasis on other people. We put way too much emphasis on, you know, is this person going to approve or that person going to approve? Is that person paying your bills? Is that person paying for the space that they take up in your head? What are they benefiting you on being able to do that? And how can you step out from underneath of it? Because, guys, nope. We've got to step away from that this year, you know? And so, there's just, you know, may the upcoming year be a canvas of beautiful moments, a palette of vibrant experience.
That's right. Hello? Uh-oh. Where's Waldo? She disappeared. Maybe the chemist, maybe something in the universe did not like what you said. Maybe something. Anyway, so until Waldo comes back in, it's just up to me. So, what do I have to say? I have to say, make this year your best. Make this year your year of decision making. And make those decisions, because you know what? None of us are getting any younger. It's time to make some harsh decisions. 2024, I think, should be the year of decisions, because 2025 is going to be off the chain. I don't know whether the off the chain is a good thing or a bad thing, but I know that it's going to definitely be happening in 2025. So, let me send a text to Waldo and say, where are you? So, okay, we got it. So, 2025 is one of those quarter things. I mean, I think that the parties and celebrations are really going to be off the chain. There she is. But I think 2025 will be a good year. So, 2024 should be a year of decision making. I know for me, I have a lot of decisions to make this year, and I don't know how or what, or I want to say if I should, because I should.
Should what?
Make decisions.
You got to make decisions. You got to make those choices. You got to make the choices, and you got to do them for you. Like, that's, you know, I think that's, like, one of the biggest problems with humanity. We make so many choices as to, like, especially, let's say, moms, you know. We make decisions, oh, is that the best decision for my children? You know, we, like, put the children before our needs. Like, is that a great choice for them? But here's the reality of it. If it's a great choice for you, isn't it going to be a great choice for your children? Because if it makes you a better person, it makes you a happier person, it makes you a more loving and caring person, doesn't that benefit your child? Mm-hmm. We got to start putting ourselves first, our needs, our wants, and our desires. Because the more we learn to do that, that's us filling our own cup. And that is when we really, truly fill our own cups and things start to overflow, then we're not draining ourselves anymore. We're giving excess. Mm-hmm. Excess of what we have in life. And that's when true blessings, that's when true things like start happening. We just got to make some little tweaks in our lives, you know, tweaks or twerks. I think more people would have fun twerking, making the changes though. Mm-hmm. Shake that booty. And you guys know dancing, you know, say you need clarity, you know, say like, you know, certain ways of different things of, you know, you're just not sure. And I'll tell you, here's something symbolic, actually, of thinking a path. That has actually been, you know, guys, I tell you guys, like, I meditate all the time. It's, you know, it's very great to try to get stuff in there. I've been asking, one of the things that I've been asking is for clarity. You know, I need direction. I would like directions on my path. And, you know, am I doing the right things? Am I headed into the right direction? And I have been asking for clarity on this path. I was sitting outside yesterday. And so, like, I don't know, I rent a house. well, you know, I rent in a house and stuff like that. And so, like, the landlord never, like, wants you to, like, do anything, like, around the house and stuff like that. But they don't take care of the yard, and they don't do things like that. So I'm outside in the back, and I like sitting outside, like, you know, checking out the birds, the squirrels, and the trees and stuff. There's so much you can learn from nature. Well, I have one tree, this big old oak tree, and oak trees are very spiritual in the spiritual community. But guys, like, when you have negative energy, all you got to do is go, like, put your hands, lay them on a tree, and the tree will take away your negative energy. That's one of the reasons why, like, trees are so important. But with how many leaves and stuff like that are down on the ground, I can't make it to, like, this tree. And so I was meditating yesterday, and I kept hearing, clear the path. Clear the path. And I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? So then I'm meditating, I go outside, I sit there, and I start realizing, clear the path. The universe was telling me to make a path to the tree. I needed to get my rake out, and I needed to go ground. It was symbolic to grounding in of that I am asking to for my path to be clear to my destination. Mm-hmm. So I went out and I raked my leaves yesterday to make a path. Sometimes the universe tells us these type of things. Are we listening? Mm-hmm. Did I feel so good after I did that yesterday? Mm-hmm. Do I feel good now that there's like a path and like I can see things? Yes, because now I was letting the universe know that I'm truly ready, because I symbolically took the action to show I'm ready for this. What are you doing? Are you just sitting around just, you know, with your fingers stuck up your ass and, you know, not doing anything? You can be in dreamland all the time, and you hear me talk about it all the time. And actually, I just kind of went off on a rant because I was going to get into the dating segment. But it's kind of the same thing where, like, you know, one of my friends is telling me, like, you know, I'm a little outdated and I'm not going to find the person I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. That the person that that I'm envisioning doesn't exist. And I looked at him yesterday and I was like, bullshit. I was like, they do too. Mm-hmm. And he was like, no, they don't. And I said, yes, they do. And he was like, how do you know that? And I was like, because I can see them in my own head. Mm-hmm. So if I can envision this, and if I can envision the lifestyle that I want, if I can envision every aspect, and if I can see someone there, then wouldn't that have to mean that that person exists? That there's something else out there that matches to that? I just have to be patient. But I have to take the steps. I can't just completely always sit on my ass and just completely be in a daydream sense. I mean, you can. It's just going to take you a really long time to get there. Mm-hmm. Or do you have inspired action? Don't try to force things to happen. But here it comes along today. You know, we've been talking a lot about the mindset and the motivation. Where is your mindset? Mm-hmm. Is your mindset on all the negativity? Is your mindset to that you're a back burner? Is your mindset to, you know, I mean, think about it like the temperature setting. Mm-hmm. Where is your mindset? You have that power. I can't change your mind. Lena can't change your mind. You are the only person who ultimately has control over changing your mind, changing your power. Mm-hmm. Let's do it, people. Could you imagine if more people actually, like, stepped out of the norm and actually started doing what made them happy and started, oh my God, we became a happy society, mm-hmm. which lived happily ever after. Wow.
That's right.
We can do it.
It's possible. Anything is possible.
100%.
And today makes a great start because it's the first of a new year. It's right? The first day of a new year for you to try it. Try it, try it, try it.
Mm. And, you know, I think you'd be surprised. And here's the thing. Like, I always tell people, too, what can it hurt? Especially if, like, you're really unhappy in your life right now. What seriously can it hurt for you to try? For 2 weeks to try to be a positive person, for 2 weeks to try to be, what can that absolutely hurt you? It can't. Because, I mean, I've never heard of positivity hurting someone. Mm. Have you?
Nope. Never heard of it.
Yeah.
No such thing as being positive to hurt anyone unless you just have a negative person in the room with you that's just saying, why are you so doggone positive all the time?
Yeah, I get told that a lot. But, yeah, guys, so it's just motivate yourself, you know? But you got to figure out what it is the hell you want, you know? I mean, because can you necessarily, if you don't know what it is that you really want, then can you get mad when something is delivered to you?
No.
No, because you were never clear. You were never specific. You were never like, hey, like, I want this. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, the bare minimum is like, this is what I want. You can't get mad. But yeah, we do all the time. But, you know, that's part of being an adult. You know, like, I always laugh at some of, like, the simplest definitions. But, you know, part of, in the psychology of being a healthy, mature, mentally and emotional adult, mm-hmm. guys, it's literally just being able to speak your needs, wants, and desires in a calm and effective manner. Mm. But how many of us can't do that? Or choose not to do that. You know, you think your needs are, you know, pointless, or, you know, you think that, you know, you feel guilty for maybe of your needs and of what you want because you constantly are thinking about people who are in a lesser situation and how guilty you feel. No, knock that off too. Mm-hmm. You know, why do you have to put suffering? And, you know, people all the time think, like, love is supposed to be suffering and sacrifice. It's not. I mean, if we really think about it, if that's the definition that we're giving love, I don't ever want love. Because why do I ever want to be sacrificing or feeling like I'm suffering? And some people, why? No. We got to change that connotation, that word that we have. That love is glorious. Love is endless. Love is passionate. Love is desire. Love is romantic. You know, what you choose to put definition to the words is how they'll manifest. But think about it, guys. Think about how many people do have the definition of when it comes to love, that in some form or direction, love means some type of sacrifice. It's a lack. That's a negative connotation. So on something so beautiful as love, we are lowering the vibration of that word with our negative connotation of that, oh, we're in love, oh, we're going to have to sacrifice our time, or we're going to have to sacrifice our money, or we're going to have to sacrifice, or, you know, we're going to have to do this, we're going to have to let that go. No. No, because true love, unconditional love, there is no sacrificing. It's acceptance.
It's just acceptance. Yep.
It's loving, it's nurturing, it's kind, it's caring, it's supportive. Mm-hmm. And we just have to change that connotation. We have to change our views. Because again, guys, it is not black and white. It is not it this way. Just because it's this way now does not mean it's going to continue that way or it's going to change this that way. There are so many varieties of different things. I mean, shoot, guys, look at Vegas. Look at, like, if you want an example of how life can go and the possibilities, look at Vegas and how Vegas does the betting. Look at gambling. There is a stat or statistic for every damn little thing. Those are all possibilities. But again, gambling, we have it in a bad connotation, so we don't necessarily want to look at those type of things. But seriously, look at it. Look at any like outcome on a football game. You know, people make millions and stuff like that off of gambling over the weekends because of all the different possibilities that there are in one each individual outcome. So why do we... You know, if we look at it on, say, we look at, like a football game, we look at, oh, there's a winner and a loser. But Vegas, they just looked at the $1 million odds of all the different possibilities of how that this game could play out. This game could play out by that player getting hit by that player and that, and the ball goes here. Da, da, da. There's all these different freaking outcomes. But we, our level of perception is so narrow-minded that it's this or that. that we don't look at all the other possibilities. We got to start looking at the possibilities. We got to start looking at the rainbows. We got to start looking a little bit differently. We got to start changing our perceptions. And again, this year being the karma year, I highly recommend you all take my advice. I highly recommend that you start listening to Megan Marie on the karma aspect, because if you are going to continue to see life as black and white, it is going to be this or that for you. And karma is going to hit you, and it is going to hit you hard. Mm-hmm. But change those possibilities. Change those outcomes. Mm-hmm. Be your hero. Be that person. You know, stop giving your power away. Be that hero of that you're coming together and that, you know, God, just, oh, y'all, I just cannot tell you how excited I am for 2024. It is going to be the bomb diggity. No doubt. I was going to say, Lena, no laugh on that.
No laugh.
What is Lena in? Lena is into the compression of, what is 2024 going to be?
I'm a little frightened. I can say, you know, because of the decisions that I need to make in my life this year, I'm a little frightened, and I need to tell myself whether I'm going to actually do it, whether I'm going to actually, I need a sign.
And you have that power, and, you know, and asking for that sign, that's a great thing of, you know, ask.
I need a sign, because I don't want to make the wrong decisions.
You're never going to make the wrong decision.
Well, I have in the past made some decisions that I felt that were right for me
at that time.
But then they ended up not being right for me. So yeah. I'm kind of in the middle of, do I trust my own thoughts? Do I, you know, can I trust my own thoughts? You know, I don't know.
Yeah, but that's part of that learning process. That's some of the stuff that we have to learn to trust, because there's so much of, like, we want to see, we want to believe this or stuff, and we put on those rosy goggles, and it makes it so that we don't see it. So it's not necessarily of that, do we trust? We just didn't choose to look at the whole picture, because we had it again in our mindset. It was this or that. We didn't look at all the other possibilities. Mm-hmm. And that's where we get burned, I think, is because we think it's like, so we make a decision. So we're like, okay, we made this decision and now it's this or that. And then when this or that doesn't happen and it's like, oh shit, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, P just happened. Well, where the hell did that stuff come from? You know, we just never looked at the alternatives. And so because we have it, and it comes down to a control thing, when we have it in our mindset that this is going to be this or that, and then, yeah, you know, C, B, C, D, F, G, H, I, J, K come into play, we think we necessarily made wrong decisions. No, we just now have to learn to go with the flow a little bit more of the, okay, yeah, this maybe isn't the outcome that I expected or the outcome that I desired, but how can I still use this to my benefit? What happens, though, so many people go and they flip, oh, it didn't happen how I thought it was going to, so, oh, this is a wrong decision, oh, I shouldn't have made this decision. No, you just got handed with some stuff you didn't, but it's still, how do we make it to our best decision? And that comes again with our mindset, but so many of us, we think, oh, we didn't make the best choices, oh, we didn't. No, you did. You made the best choice with the education. You made the best educated choice for you at that time. Now you have to reevaluate. Now you have to sit down, and now you have to think, now that, you know, like C, D, F, G, H, I, J, K popped up, now you have to reevaluate. And we constantly have to do that. But again, in that subconscious mind and how we're programmed, we're always taught to believe that, oh, it's this way or that way. Mm-hmm. Oh, we failed or we succeeded. It's either that. There's never room for the middle ground. And we have to start seeing that there's so many levels. There's hills. There's, you know, portions, there's all these different things. Just what are we doing, and what is our level of perception, and what do we choose to see?
Mm-hmm.
can understand that. I'm still scared. Hmm.
Yeah, and you know, but don't sit there and dwell
but,
in that.
But
fear
you know what? I've weighed out all of the. I think I weighed out all of the things that surround. I think I've looked at the whole thing in detail. But I think I'm missing something. And I think that aspect that I'm missing is probably the most important one.
It normally does work out that way.
So
it does.
You know, so I don't know. I'm entering a year confused. And this has really not it don't really have much to do with my business as it does my personal life.
But our personal lives bleed into our business. You know, that as much as we don't want them to, you know, we want to say that we can compartmentalize it and stuff like that. But I mean, it bleeds into it that sometimes the reason why business successes aren't happening the way that we want is because we allow the personal problems to block our business successes because we can't separate and tie out the emotions between them. So sometimes, you know, it's not necessarily what is it, you know, well, I guess kind of like the way that I want to say it is, you know, sometimes your personal life has to go into the back burner to make the business succeed. You know, that's kind of like where I am in life and, you know, even kind of dating. Maybe it's the fact that I need to be focusing a little bit more on my business and then my personal life. Yes, maybe it's my business life is more in tune with how I'm aligned right now. That's where my focus needs to be. And, you know, personally, it will all come together. Or it might be vice versa, you know, for someone else of that, you know, maybe your personal life is so out of whack that then it goes into, so in order to get your business, you have to get your personal life. Each person's journey is different on that. And yeah, we have to sit down and think about, well, where is the confusion and the frustration coming so much if that, okay, if I took the time to figure this aspect out, maybe then I would have more freedom and energy space to be able to focus on what it is that I really want to be focusing on.
Yeah, I could get with that, you know. And at the end of the day, nobody but you could make those decisions, you know.
It doesn't, no one.
It doesn't matter how much advice, because I'm constantly getting advice or, you know, bringing up my scenario to different people to get their opinion. But at the end of the day, the decision is all yours.
All yours. And it sucks sometimes, guys.
It does. Because I have made so many wrong decisions that I'm afraid to make a decision.
See, but that's what I'm telling you. Stop saying that. You did not make wrong decisions.
Yes, I did, though.
No, you didn't. Okay. You made decisions for yourself at that moment that were good. At that moment, that with what you had, the information.
Yeah, but then it turned out to be not good.
Because you didn't have all the information. You didn't have all the information. And so that's though when we have to sit down and evaluate. But if you wouldn't have made that original decision, you wouldn't even be given the opportunity or the blessing to be able to have a spot to be able to make another choice or decision. You see? So it's like, that's where it's like, we have to stop being so hard on ourselves and saying that we made wrong decisions, because the reality is you did not make wrong decisions. You made the best choice and the best decision for you at that moment with the information that you had in your hand. You made that decision. Did it maybe turn out how you thought it was going to? No, but you still made the best educated choice and decision for you with what you had at your hands. Now, Ken, once we make decisions, guess what? That's your sign, and that's when certain other paths open up. You know, that's when certain other different things, but we have to wait and receive that information coming. And does it sometimes look like, okay, so we make a decision and a path and it doesn't open up the way. Does it mean that we made a wrong choice? No. What it means though, okay, but look, an opportunity still came to us. Now we didn't get what we necessarily want, but how can I get what I want? Just because again, that whatever it is that you wanted did not come does not mean it's this or that. There's other options. There's so many freaking possibilities, but we just got to want to be able to be willing to see those possibilities.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I guess so. I guess so. I don't know. But still some decisions need to be made. It's only Monday, the beginning of the year, so I do have time, I think.
You've got tons of time. Time is an illusion. Remember, guys, man made time. God did not make time.
Mm-hmm. God didn't make time? Wait a minute.
God did not make time.
That doesn't make sense.
Man. God did not make time. Man made time. Mm-hmm. Did God make a clock? Or did man make a clock?
Man made the clock, but...
Man made the clock. God did not make time.
But time is something that was created from the beginning of creation. It's just time that went by, so why would you say...
We put time on it, but God did not make time.
What?
Yep.
You have completely confused me on that. I mean, that God didn't make time. I believe God made time. Time is in the Bible. Why can you say that man made it?
Because man made clock. If there was not a clock, would we know time?
I mean, we wouldn't know time as it is, like the 1 o'clock.
We wouldn't know time as it is, right.
But still, time is passing.
Time is passing.
Day after day after day.
Day after day, it does pass. But we wouldn't know the time frame. We wouldn't know of any of that. We wouldn't be on, like, a biological clock. We wouldn't be on any of that if man didn't put that into terms and recognition. We would just be going by. Yes, time would pass by. Time would be going by. But we would have no timelines to put on of, oh, you're 16. Oh, you're 17. We would all just be here. We'd all just exist. It would just go. We would go by the sun and the moon. We would be going by the seasons. That's where we would know of time. But of what we know of time today, man created it.
Hmm. Yeah. Is that jingle bells I hear in the background?
I don't know. I don't hear no jingle bells.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're true about you. That's right. Yeah, the days would just pass, and there would be no record of what happened at 8 o'clock, 1 o'clock, or whatever.
Even your age, everything like that. We would just be going on. We would be living by the seasons. We would be living by the thing. And it was, I mean, look at even like all the ages and stuff in the Bible. You know, no one was concerned about, oh, you're 40 years old. Oh, you're 50. Oh, you should be having these health problems. Oh, you're 80. You're close to death. No one was that way in life. It was literally just, every day you just went about, you just did. Man put the restrictions of time and age on us. Mm-hmm. Not God.
Yeah, that's true. You are absolutely right about that, Miss Megan.
I know. Megan Marie gets deep, you all.
Megan Marie. Like,
yeah. Like, but if you really think about it, you know, so like when you hear all the time in the spirituality where it's like God doesn't care about time. God doesn't care about time. We put those restraints. That's why we get frustrated, like when you're trying to manifest and when you're trying to do things on of like, okay, well, I said it today. It should happen by Friday. God doesn't know the difference between Friday. God knows how many, like, sun's up, sundowns. You know, like, God, universe, spirit, doesn't have that reality of, oh, we need this to happen in 10 hours. There's no reference to that. That's why it's called, and I've even kind of been, like, divine timing and stuff like that. There's no such thing as really divine timing. It's when God makes it happen. You know, but we have no relevance of it. We can put it out there and we then have to wait for it to happen. Mm-hmm. But to say of it, oh, this is going to happen in 30 days. No, God doesn't know what 30 days is. Now, if you want to say it's going to happen within 30 sun ups, you're more likely to actually get it to happen. Because that's how God speaks. God doesn't speak in time in our days and stuff of the metric system and all that type of stuff. That was all man-made, people.
All man-made. And speaking of man-made time, and it's about time for us to collect our things and get out of here. Hello. Yes, yes, yes. We made it through our first New Year's Day.
This was our first show. New Year's together, Lena.
Yeah, it is. It's our very first New Year's with, and hopefully more to come, unless we